We read from James chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. James 3, beginning at verse 7. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by human beings. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse other people who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. And if that isn't enough, he goes on to say this. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. That reflects some biblical wisdom from the Old Testament. If you go to Proverbs chapter 18, verses 2 and 13. Proverbs 18, verses 2 and 13. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. Did you catch that? A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. And then if we drop down to verse 13, he who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, watch your tongue. And I'm speaking to myself as well. Because this past week we had the synod, the annual leadership meeting of the Christian Reformed denomination in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I watched that like a hawk, because there are some very, very important issues that were discussed there. A lot of disagreement, and a lot of the disagreement was around human sexuality. What is right and biblical and what is not? What do our confessions say and don't say about the way that we look at same-sex marriages and so forth? And it got to be really tense. And when I watched that, I looked at how people spoke. And I had this passage in mind already, so it was kind of interesting. You could run it through that screen, right? And people would get up and you could just kiss them because they said such beautiful things. And then you had other people and you go like, dude, where are you coming from? You know, like, do we really read the same Bible? Do we embrace the same confessions? Are we members of the same denomination? How can that be? But you see, Nobody beat each other up, by the way, on the floor, just so you know. They kept it, you know, reasonably civilized. But you know that words can really hurt. And words can cause a whole lot of damage. Think, for example, of Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler in the First World War was a corporal. They gave him a gun, not a new one, but they gave him a gun, and it may be that, you know, they gave him real bullets. He may have shot, he may even have killed a few people. In the thick of war, you're never sure. But look what he did in the Second World War without a gun. His words brought millions of people to their death. Just by words. You see how important words are? How easily a few bad words can ruin things in a denomination, in a congregation, in our congregation, in our families, in our personal lives. There are people who have gone online, heard and saw the wrong words in a chat room, and went out and killed themselves. That's how deeply words can wound us and shock us. And it's for that reason that the Bible doesn't mince any words about saying, you watch your language. You watch your tongue. If you are in Christ, be careful how you speak. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding. The Hebrew word is tabuna. Tabuna means to really know things deeply as you should know them. A fool takes no pleasure in that, but only in expressing personal opinion. And the Hebrew is great on this one. It's much better than the English translation. It literally means the person who is just out trying to express their personal opinion is letting his heart expose itself. Think here of indecent exposure. Right? Are there things that you have that you would not want to expose to the world, even on, and especially not online? Well, the writer says, what people do when they rant, when people just simply go to get their opinion out there, where they simply, without actually caring about thinking deeply about what they're doing, it's indecent exposure. And it can have incredibly damaging effects. You know, the web, for all its good things, and I love this technology, I love to use it, because it can be much more effective in communicating. At the same time, it raises the stakes. You can also use the media for absolute evil, to spread lies. And people will pick up on these lies and they will believe the lies because they hear it so often here and there and again through all these different channels of communication. So, let me give you one example. Here is Alex Jones in the U.S. He became a very famous and noted radio broadcaster in the U.S. And Alex basically said that Sandy Hook, you know, this horrible massacre of young people in a school, he said it never happened. And he not only said it didn't happen, he kept saying it. And people kept believing him. Until the parents of those who were slaughtered at Sandy Hook got together and took him to court. And they got a $50 million lawsuit against him that they won. And you're going to say, well, good for them, right? Good for them. The problem? The problem is that Alex Jones made a ton more money just by saying what he said. And $50 million was a very small price to pay for his fame, for his notoriety. And it shows that spreading lies now on the internet can actually make you a ton of money and make you very rich. Now, fortunately, subsequently, he got sued again, and he got sued for more money than he has, so he declared bankruptcy. There is still, some hope in the legal system in our countries, right? But the point being that just by words, he could so profoundly and deeply injure people, and instead of being punished for it online, you can often be rewarded for that. And when that happens, we've got to get back to the scriptures that warn us so clearly. Make sure that you are not a fool who finds pleasure in airing your own opinions. Be sure that when you speak online or in person, that you speak the truth, that what you are saying is really right. And if you're not sure about that yet, go and check it out. And you know, that's so true also in church. How easily we can hurt each other, damage each other, simply by blurting out our own opinions without having really done the homework first. And that's why James says this. He doesn't mince any words about this. The tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. See, he doesn't mince any words, but he's thought this out very carefully, brothers and sisters, because he was writing to a church that was very good at expressing its own opinions without doing its homework first, and severely damaging each other so that they had no choice but to walk away. A whole faction of them had to walk away. Their differences, and differences are not bad in church, it's fine to have different opinions. It's fine to have different views. It's fine even to have different interpretations of the scriptures itself, because the Bible is the infallible word of God, right? But not your interpretation of it. That's not infallible. There's nothing infallible about that. Interpretation is a human work, and you could be right and you could be wrong, or you could be half right and you could be half wrong. The point being that we are to make sure that the love of Jesus Christ that is within us and the power of the Holy Spirit within us will keep us united even with our differences of opinion. That we remain one, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, we read this morning. And to simply speak thoughtlessly, to simply think you know what's right and to say it, can cause incredible dysfunction within a family. It can cause incredible division within the body of Christ. And it can lead to us just walking away from each other. And the world again will see that Christians who are to be united in Christ can so easily do exactly the wrong thing. Do exactly what God has made very clear he did not want. To do exactly what Jesus prayed we would not do just before he went to the cross in his high priestly prayer, John 17. Father, keep them one so that the world may see that you and I are one. And then we go and ruin it. If one gives answer before hearing, it is folly and shame. Do your homework. I know this is not a fun sermon this morning, and I apologize for it, but there is incredible gospel and good news in it. Because if we will only restrain our tongue, if we'll only allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with the words that truly build up, that allow us to reach out to one another and build each other up, then we can be filled with that Spirit. And that Spirit can make us rejoice in so many beautiful ways, as instead of tearing each other down, we will build each other up in the Lord Jesus Christ, in our faith, in God's truth. But we've got to do our homework first. Listen carefully. Study the scriptures. Don't just simply take somebody else's interpretation and immediately run with it. No, you go check out God's word for yourself. You go make sure that what you have been told is what the Bible means, indeed is exactly what it means. And respond with careful, measured words. Be smart about what you say, especially when we're talking about such complex issues as human sexuality within a divided denomination. You know, when Jesus talked to his disciples about leaving them, he said, I'm going to leave you, I'm going to go to my Father's place and make many dwelling places for you with him. And where he went, by the way, was to the cross in order to take our sins upon himself so he could create space with God the Father for us. But he says a little later in that chapter, John 14, he says this, I will not leave you as orphans. I will give you the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, and he will teach you, and then the word in the Greek is in the plural, it's not just you as an individual, but us together. He will teach you together everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. So what Jesus is saying there to his disciples is, don't ever just state your own opinion. But make sure that your opinion has been reasoned, has been checked out against, has been tested against the opinion of your sister and your brother in Christ. And make sure that it isn't even just the opinions that you have right now when you look at a text to say you're going to interpret it, but go all the way back to those who have been interpreting that scripture for over 2,000 years. So do some reading, do some studying. Be sure that it is a communal understanding of what God is saying to us in His holy word, so that I'm sure that I'm not just simply blurting out and indecently exposing my own narrow view of God's word. Because that becomes a violation of our community. Be careful how you speak at home. Be careful how you speak to a friend, that you don't say something that could ruin their self-confidence, that could ruin their self-image. One bad thing you blurt out could really damage a friend. Why would you do that? In family, at home, what you say matters. How you say it matters. How do you contribute to the family rather than take away from it and destroy it? In church, how we speak matters almost, if not more, than what we speak. Because we have to measure our words in a way that truly build us up so that we speak the truth, but we don't just speak the truth, Paul says. You speak the truth in love. You speak the truth in love. That means that it has to be done in a certain way that recognizes the fact that we together are the family of God. I like what Abraham Lincoln said about this. He said, better to be silent and thought to be a fool than to speak and dispel all doubt. I love that. Better to be silent and thought a fool than to speak and dispel all doubt. Positively, what can you contribute to our conversations? What can you contribute to your friend? What can you contribute so that your words become a real good gift to your neighbor, to your fellow church member, to your denomination, to your community? What can you say that truly brings the riches and understanding and wisdom of God to others? Because that's what we're called to do as Christians. Not just to act as Jesus acted, but to speak as Jesus spoke. What an incredible opportunity to build. And it doesn't even take a lot of energy. Proverbs says it just takes a little bit of forethought. A little bit of getting some understanding, a little bit of beginning to understand of how we might truly speak the very words of our Heavenly Father. Let me give you one example that I thought of just, when we just had the offering too. How many of you, this is a great opportunity, right, to give to a really important cause, and we do that in every worship service. So one thing all churches in the world have in common. They all have an offering, right? It's a good reason for that, because we can help. We can help many people with our contributions and our gifts. What would you think if somebody, instead of putting in a $10 bill or a check, puts in a used Kleenex? Would you be impressed by that? But the words that we offer each other in church are much more important than those few bucks we drop in a collection bag. Do we think about that? What contribution are your words making to the body of Christ? What kind of contribution are your words making to God's mission in the church to reconcile all peoples to Himself? This coming week, think about that image, would you? I know it's a nasty image to think about. That's the whole point. Think about it with the way you speak, with the words you say. Remember what Paul says. Speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. As each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Brothers and sisters, this week, watch your tongue and make sure that your mind is in gear when your mouth is working, and make sure that your heart is in the right place in the words you speak. Amen. Let's pray together in the song we sing as we offer a prayer to God to give us the right words that we may use to build up God's body on earth.